Hello, everybody. Welcome back into your latest episode of Locked On Colts Prey, Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, your host, Evan Sutter, and my very special guest on today's show, Matt Williamson of Locked On NFL. Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm great, man. How you doing, bud? It's great to have you on your show.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for coming on short notice, Matt. Appreciate it. Because I wanted to get you on for this first segment to talk about Roosevelt Nix. We haven't had a chance to talk about it on the show yet, but in 2020, Matt, the fullback's still going stronger because Roosevelt Nix signed a one-year deal with the Indianapolis Colts, their new starting fullback. I imagine we use it a lot more often in I formations, helping out Merlin Mack and with the offensive line. What's your thoughts on Roosevelt Nix and the Colts going after him?
Yeah, I mean, for those that don't know, I host the national show Locked On NFL, but I'm based out of Pittsburgh, lived here my whole life basically, except for when I worked for University of Akron and the Browns, and I do a ton of work with the Steelers. So I'm very familiar with Nix. I'm basically moving to training camp with the team. So I'm dialed in with the Steelers more than the other 31 teams. He was hurt last year and was missed. You know, I mean, they didn't have that fullback element in their run game. He's one of the guys, like, if you walk in the locker room, that you'd least want to see in a back alley. I mean, he is a tough, hard-nosed dude that began his career actually as a defensive tackle. So he has a little bit of a different mentality and found a way to latch on in the NFL by switching to fullback. He is not a Juszczyk, Janovich, versatile type of guy. I mean, if you throw them the ball short, he'll probably catch it. But he's an old-school 1980s, knock-your-face-off, downhill, thickly built, nasty lead blocker. He's also, I don't know if you knew this, but he was one of the Steelers' core special teamers, like one of their top guys in all phases.
Yeah, and it seems like to me that's a big emphasis to why they signed Nix, because I went and saw a lot of special teams highlights. He was actually the special teams captain this past year, I believe, Matt, yeah, for the Steelers. A very high leadership pedigree Nix brings, and also, like you mentioned, a throwback at the fullback position. What do you think his role is going to be with the Colts this time next year? Because I know you missed time with injury last year at the Steelers, but I imagine we're going to see him about 5-6 snaps per game on offense, but probably a lot on special teams.
I would imagine he plays every snap of special teams and is one of your best guys. I mean, in all phases, I don't know if he'll be the special teams captain or not, but he'll be one of the top three or four core guys that makes a living doing that. I mean, on fourth and one, when, you know, you run behind that big offensive line, I'm sure he'll be in there. Maybe he plays more than four or five snaps a game. I don't know exactly what their plan is for him, but maybe he plays 10% of the snap, something like that, early down stuff. I do think that they want to be a physical running team. He fits that mold. And he brings something to the locker room. I mean, he brings a little juice and a little toughness.
Yeah, when you look back at that Dolphins game last year, the Steelers play, I saw a clip from Brian Baldinger. He tweeted out during that game and talk about the impact that Roosevelt Nix just had on that game for the Steelers' rushing attack. James Conner especially had his best game of the year against the Dolphins. What impact is going to have for a guy like Marlon Mack, you think, Matt?
I think it'll be very helpful. I mean, he'll be a very trusted addition, lead him through the hole, pretty experienced guy, blow up a linebacker, real 1980s football.
And also, just real quickly on Roosevelt Nix before we end on a draft question, because I just found it really intriguing that we had Dane Brugler on yesterday, and we talked about quarterbacks. I'm going to hang with you for a second too, Matt. But with the fullback in 2020, what's your thoughts on that position? Because it's slowly dying away. I know we saw Kyle Juszczyk last year with the Super Bowl team really help revolutionize it once more, playing really a Swiss Army knife type of role for that 49ers team. But what's your overall thoughts on the fullback position in the year 2020?
I mean, things don't disappear, but I do think run-stuffing nose tackles, you know, between the tackle, neck roll linebackers, purely blocking Nix-like fullbacks are basically dinosaurs and guys that you can get very much on the cheap. That doesn't mean that they don't have a role. I mean, look at the success the Patriots have had year after year with a pure lead blocking type fullback. You know, we talked about Juszczyk, who's the highest paid fullback in the league. He's an integral part of that Shanahan scheme, as was, when Shanahan was in Atlanta, they used a fullback at a big deal, an awful lot, but those are more receivers, versatile all around football players. I'm not saying that, you know, fullbacks won't be a part of the game 10 years from now, because I still think if you're going to get nickel and dime defenses, and you can put Rosie Nix out there blasting safeties apart, there's value to that. But not every team's going to carry a fullback.
Yeah, Roosevelt Nix and Quentin Nelson running through a B-gap together is going to be a lot of fun to watch. That could be a really entertaining highlights and have those clips go viral even more. But let's talk about the quarterbacks for a second here, man, because I see you tweet out your rankings last night on your Twitter account at WilliamsonNFL. It was just a reply to someone on Twitter, and you put Joe Burrow number one, Tua Tagovailoa number two, then there's a gap, Justin Herbert at number three, then another gap. And number four, number five is Jordan Love and Jake Fromm. And we had Dane Brugler, the Athletic, on yesterday, Matt, talk about these quarterbacks. And Dane believes that if the Colts don't trade up for Jordan Love, or if he slips, or if he doesn't slip in the draft to 34, he thinks Jake Fromm makes the most sense. And based off your rankings there, I believe you seem pretty bullish on Jake Fromm yourself, having him in your top five.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of him to the Colts, but I've got no qualms with that. I'm also still pretty much a Brissett believer, so I'm not sure if they have to go that direction. But my take on Fromm is, I mean, he kicked basically two big-time players out of Georgia as a starter. I mean, that says volumes. He's won a lot of games and has been an integral part in Georgia football history. He gets a lot of heat for he doesn't have a big arm. No, he doesn't, but it's not awful. When I've gone back and watched him, I was surprised that his arm is better than what you read. You know, I mean, I kind of watched him with a preconceived notion that this guy's Chad Pennington, soft toss guy. It's not that bad. And for the Colts, you play in a dome. AFC South is not going to be a lot of weather and whatnot to deal with. He's not the biggest, most physical guy, and I wonder, you know, can he stand up to the beating that position is going to take? But that means less now than ever, and it's a really good line he'd be behind in Indy. He's just a really quick processor, get it out to the right guy, point guard type of dude that wins from the neck up.
We're only 9 days away from the NFL draft now, Matt, I believe. Just how excited are you for this point? Because especially during this time with the coronavirus going on, this might be our last sporting event, really, maybe till the fall.
Yeah, and I've been we football people have been fortunate enough that I'm as busy as ever still. So it's not like I'm just sitting around doing nothing. I've worked from home to begin with. So I'm still recording Locked On NFL every day. I'm going doing Steeler shows. I'm doing writing articles left and right. So it hasn't changed my work environment much. I'm very lucky for that. I mean, it's not like it was hockey or the NBA or something that totally shut down. So the NFL's done a great job of providing people with a distraction, something to get into. And so many nice people have reached out saying, you know, thanks for just putting out content. It helps me get through my day sitting here alone. And I mean, it's a rough time, but I hope we're turning the corner. But to your point, the draft is my favorite day of the year anyway. I mean, like I often tell the story when I was growing up, if I had 104 fever, my mom was sending me to school, but on draft day, I was allowed to stay home. You know, and that was back when they had the draft during the week. I mean, that's always my favorite day of the year. And it's no exception to 46 years old.
Yeah, this is going to be a very fun time coming up here at the NFL draft. Matt, appreciate the time coming on here to talk about Roosevelt Nix and your quarterback rankings. You can follow Matt on Twitter at WilliamsonNFL. Matt, appreciate the time, man.
Yeah, it's a blast.
A team like, say, the Dallas Cowboys, who are currently on the clock. Where do you go? Do you have a 17th player? I know there are some teams out there that, I mean, it's, we get into some groupthink here. There's teams that are going to have wild boards. They're going to have 20 guys in their first round solid grades. There's going to be teams that have, you know, 13 players in their list of players that they really like as blue chip talents. Do the Cowboys here at 17 have another player there? Or do you think they just go strictly need? I think you can't count out, even though interior offensive linemen aren't positionally valuable as much as an edge rusher or a cornerback. I don't think you can count out the best interior guy in this draft like Cesar Ruiz. There are a couple of pass rushers. You mentioned Ke'Lavon Chaisson, who has all the athletic ability, might be a little undersized for a pure 4-3 defensive end. There's Yetur Gross-Matos, who does have the size to be that every down defensive end. There is a number of ways the Dallas Cowboys could go cornerback, but it starts to get a lot more difficult for me to try to peg where a team's going to go here in the back half of round one.
Yeah, I don't like being the 17th pick because of that Sweet 16 philosophy we have. The Cowboys certainly could benefit if Chaisson goes, or more likely maybe a fifth offensive tackle goes off the board. We know that position's always coveted. Or you know, most likely maybe it would be someone trades up for Jordan Love in the early teens and just loves, you know, adores him, has to have him. But this went as we kind of expect. The best 16 are off the board. And you know, you hate to be that guy that takes the first of the third corners or reaches a little for Cesar Ruiz, or they don't really need a linebacker like Murray or Queen. You need front level defense or back level defense. You would have loved for CJ Henderson to fall to you. I would guess, you know, gun to my head, Chaisson would be the pick here, you know, and he could, because of the need and edges go quick, but I don't love where they're sitting.
You know what? I can guarantee you, Matt, the Dallas Cowboys will not reach here because the Dallas Cowboys will not pick here. We have another trade in the Locked On NFL mock draft, and it is a team that didn't even have a first-round pick coming into this thing. It is Evan Sidery, who has control of the Indianapolis Colts. They're coming all the way up from 34 in the second round. The second pick in round two, they have Washington's pick. They're trading that and their original second round pick at 44. So 34 and 44, they're coming up with the Cowboys, pushing the Cowboys all the way out of round one. It is now the Indianapolis Colts on the clock at 17. Is this for that quarterback, Matt?
I would think, unless they're in love with Chaisson. I mean, that's the only one I could think of. Or maybe it's the next receiver. I mean, I could see Jefferson being that move, too. I mean, if you're thinking win now, just sign Rivers. Maybe you get the LSU edge or wideout and say, I'm good. I got Buckner and that guy, and I'm in good shape. That'll do it for me. I'm going to sit out the second round, where Dallas' second round is going to be a blast. But usually people trade up for quarterbacks.
With the Colts on the clock, we'll find out momentarily who their selection is. Just thinking about this from the Cowboys, and we kind of laid it out there. The board doesn't fall great for you. You have a ton of salaries you're going to have to pay out to some high-end players on your roster. That means you're going to have to fill the rest of your roster with depth. Having more draft picks, I think, is huge for the Cowboys. Need didn't meet value for them at 17. I love this move for the Cowboys, and we'll see if we love this move for the Colts when we find out who that selection is at 17.
Yeah, sounds good to me. And again, it's a good way of laying it out for Dallas. Is it's nice to have a bunch of second round picks. They don't hurt your cap a good deal. They're frankly not much different from the 17th pick. That seemed a little light, 34 and 44. But if I was picking 15, 16, I wouldn't have said yes, but I'm picking 17. So I will say yes.
Let's find out who the Colts have at 17, who they could not wait to get. Standing by, Evan Sidery in the Locked On Colts War Room.
A surprising move just happened here in our mock draft as the Indianapolis Colts decided to move up, packaging their two second-round picks, 34 and 44, to number 17 to the Dallas Cowboys to land their future franchise quarterback in Jordan Love. The boom or bust, the very much polarizing prospect from Utah State, Chris Bauer has long been a guy who has been targeting Jordan Love according to multiple reports. Zach Kiefer, the Athletic, mentioned before that Chris Bauer and his staff been watching Jordan Love for 2+ years at this point, even before Andrew Luck retired. So they move up from 34 to get Jordan Love at 17. And he will not be starting right away. Jordan Love, as you guys know, Philip Rivers is a starting quarterback for the next year. Jacoby Brissett says they're very high-priced backup quarterback for 2020 at $20 million cap hit. So Jordan Love will be doing a full redshirt year in 2020 for the Colts. He will be nowhere near the field if Philip Rivers gets hurt. Jacoby Brissett will be the backup. It's a full redshirt year for Jordan Love as he needs to work on his mental processing and learning how to read the field, almost like Kansas City did with Patrick Mahomes and Alex Smith in a couple years back, and that did really well for them. Jordan Love will not help the Colts compete next year, but in the next year or two, if they, let's say Philip Rivers is a good year in 2020, they franchise tag him in 2021, Jordan Love will only be 24 years old during the 2022 season, but the Colts currently have no quarterbacks under contract past this upcoming season. So that means that they definitely are drafting a quarterback in 2020. The question is when and where. And in this scenario, we have the Colts moving up aggressively, using their two second-round picks to go and get their guy in Jordan Love. Jordan Love will make this team a playoff contender and Super Bowl contender, I think, very consistently within the next 3 or 4 years, but definitely not right away. Maybe whether it's in 2021 or 2022, Jordan Love will be the Colts' starting quarterback for the next decade plus. I think Frank Reich is the best developer of quarterbacks, especially for a guy like Jordan Love, to land in a situation like this where he can do a full redshirt, maybe even 2 years of a redshirt in this scenario, because he definitely does need to land the perfect environment to help his skills, to help him reach his ceiling. And Frank Reich, Chris Bauer, the way they built this offense and defense, I think Jordan Love can step in right away after a year or two of seasoning and really help this Colts team be a sustainable contender once more. Personally, I compare Jordan Love to a guy like Matt Ryan. I know it's a very odd comparison on the surface there, but I think Matt Ryan, he showed at Boston College last year. He threw a lot of interceptions, even more than Jordan Love did his final year at Utah State. Matt Ryan threw 19 interceptions, Jordan Love threw 17. Based off that, we saw Matt Ryan do well in a system that really benefited his skill sets. And I think the Colts would do that, whether it's a year or two of sitting behind Rivers, that Jordan Love can really be the same thing. And athletically, I know Patrick Mahomes is out there a little bit for him. I don't want to throw a comparison on Jordan Love, but I think a player like that, maybe blending in a Mahomes, his ceiling and his arm talent, mixed with Matt Ryan, his ability to really fix his turnover problems from Boston College, I think it's a player you have in Jordan Love, and that's two former MVPs there. So if Frank Reich and Chris Bauer can really go up there and get Jordan Love and help develop him, I think it's a home run hit that the Colts just landed, getting up to 34 from 17. So that'll do it for us here from the Annapolis Colts War Room. The Annapolis Colts move from 34, using 34 and 44, the 2 second-round picks, to go get Jordan Love with the Dallas Cowboys number 17 overall. So the Colts are pushing their chips all in like they have this offseason and getting Jordan Love to be their new franchise quarterback.
It's Jordan Love, quarterback, Utah State. Love started earning national recognition 2 years ago in 2018 when he threw for a single season school record 3,567 yards for the Aggies and ranked 8th in the entire country with 32 touchdown passes. The Bakersfield, California native did take a step back, however, as a junior in 2019. Love threw an FBS high 17 interceptions and had 4 games where his completion percentage was below 52%. So as Love sets his sights on the next level, his strengths are enough to leave NFL GMs' mouths watering. At 6'4", 220, he checks all the boxes when it comes to size and stature. Love has good athleticism and mobility, and is often at his best when he extends plays with his feet, either hitting receivers on the run or taking off to pick up positive yards. He's also got that gunslinger mentality, and has the arm strength to back it up with the ability to squeeze throws into tight windows. But the former Utah State QB is not without his faults. His field vision and awareness took a huge step back last year, and he often throws careless balls into heavy coverage, either not recognizing what the defense is doing or putting the ball up for grabs regardless. So Love's cons mostly center around his decision-making, and that will certainly need to improve at the next level. But his arm talent and mobility go hand-in-hand with today's NFL. It's a bit of a calculated risk to take Jordan Love high in this year's draft. But with the proper development, you might strain your neck trying to find the ceiling for Love's NFL future. This is Ben Stevens of Locked On Big Ten, your source for Big Ten and college sports content every day.
And it was the quarterback, Matt. Jordan Love, quarterback from Utah State. The Colts going up to get their guy at pick 17, using both of their second-round picks to move up into the middle of the first round to draft their quarterback, presumably of the future. A little bit of a crowded quarterback room now in Indianapolis.
Yeah, and maybe you get a second or a third for Brissett. Maybe there's another shoe to drop and you go into camp with Rivers as your clear starter. Love as the Mahomes plan, just sit him all year. Rivers' contract's up after the year. Hopefully hand it off to the young guy from there and win a million games and win the Super Bowl and league MVP like Mahomes has with the Chiefs. I just don't like Love that much as a prospect, to be honest with you. I think there's a very, very low ceiling, but I understand the logic and I understand people that do love Love.
One thing is clear is they brought in Phillip Rivers because that tells you what they thought about Jacoby Brissett as their long-term guy and their short-term guy. He's not the guy for them. So if Brissett's not even a factor in this anymore, then I think you've got to go find your quarterback of the future. And in this draft class, Jordan Love, clearly the fourth best guy. Some people have talked about him being ahead of Justin Herbert because they're both toolsy players that might have a little bit of a ways to go as far as development. I think with Herbert, just with his ability at the Senior Bowl and what he did at the Combine, just I think, you know, and the interceptions from Love last season, I think he had a better year in 2018 than 19. I think that really is what separated Herbert from Love. But some people actually like Love more. You don't sound like you're one of those people, but it's an interesting move for the Colts to have such a big shakeup at the quarterback position. It's the most important position in sports. So if they can develop Love, who's got a nice situation to sit back, learn from an all-time great in Phillip Rivers, I mean, this might be, you know, a former NFL quarterback as his coach. This might be the best landing spot for him.
Yeah, oh, it could be. I think it's a great landing spot for him. There's a line in place. There's a great quarterback coach. There's a mentor. So, you know, you certainly aren't being asked to play right away. I think it works out very well for Love. The Colts, though, and I would never give anyone a hard time for going and getting what they think is a franchise quarterback, but they started this process with the 13th pick and two nice second rounders. And really all they got for this year was Buckner, who's a great player, but you know, that's not the way I saw it.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it. So with 13, 34 and 44, they paid $21 million a year, ended up with Buckner and, money, right? And a future quarterback. So that's one way to break this down. And what would you rather have, A or B? And it's interesting. And Love is not going to help them most likely in 2020. But if he hits and he's your quarterback of the future, it's well worth it.
Yeah. And it's a great landing spot for him.
Absolutely. Okay, let's find out what the draft dudes, Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino, think about the first four picks, day three of the Locked On NFL mock draft.
Kyle Krabs, Joe Marino, the draft dudes here. And Joe, we have a trade.
Yes.
And anytime you get trades, you should not be surprised in the first round of the NFL drafted if it is for a quarterback. And that is exactly what we saw. The Indianapolis Colts, who were picking 13th and traded for DeForest Buckner before the draft and had the 34th pick, gave up 34 and 44 to jump up to 17 and draft quarterback Jordan Love of Utah State, who was attached to the Colts before the deal for DeForest Buckner. So, Joe, your reaction to this deal?
Yeah, this is an interesting deal for the Colts. I mean, obviously, Philip Rivers is in the building now, but probably only a one-year answer as we started to see him start to decline last season. But certainly a player that can hold the seat warm this year, but then give way to Jordan Love, I think, who is more of a projection to start in year two. Obviously, the physical skill set of Jordan Love is really exciting, and he has a big arm and a quick release, and he can win outside of structure, and he's athletic. But the reality is, I think, from a processing perspective, he'll be very much be a benefit to him in his career to be able to sit and learn from a quarterback like Philip Rivers for a season. And so I think this was a good job of the Colts having some foresight on the most important position on the field.
And if I look at this from the Dallas side of things, I think this is a big win for the Cowboys in a deep NFL draft class. And to move back 17 spots and pick up another top 50 pick as a team that's looking to compete, you're going to see some good football players on the board there at 34 when the Cowboys now pick first. Were you surprised to see them be the team? You know, we had teased at the top of the show one of these teams, the Dolphins, Raiders, and Jaguars, who have multiple first-round picks, perhaps them being a team that's interested in moving down. That wasn't the case. The Cowboys chose to punt at 17 and bet on the depth of this draft class at 34.
Well, I think maybe the real dagger for the Cowboys was when C.J. Henderson went off the board to the Falcons at 16, being able to get a top-tier cornerback like that and feeling like maybe they found enough answers on the defensive line where this is a chance to move back to 34, gain 44, still get a quality cornerback prospect, but it was C.J. Henderson or we're getting out of this pick.
And that's exactly what we saw happen, Joe.
Yes, it is, and we'll be anxious to see what happens here with the rest of these picks today. We had some trades already in the first four, and like Kyle mentioned at the beginning of the show, we have three teams now that have already made a pick in this draft. It'll be interesting to see how these draft classes start to come together for the Dolphins, Raiders, and Jaguars.